informative, exciting, and stimulating talk. Stimulating talk. Nigeria Infield, your number one for talk. Number one for talk. Let's talk.
This is Nigeria Info.
All right, just 1 o'clock. That's what that line now means. It's 1 o'clock on the dot this afternoon. That call had to be cut in. But we have Barrister Abubakar, who's been listening into some of the comments and thoughts. Can you respond to some of them and tell us what your final thoughts are?
Okay. As regards the electronic transmission, yes, it can be done for money-wise, but I can assure you in all the banks that you know in Nigeria, they've all suffered one form of fraud, one form of attack, cyber attack, and at times millions of dollars we are missing. And it's a global threat in America, in England, in China, every other country of the world are still finding ways to reduce the threat of hackers that steals millions of naira electronically, and for issues such as elections where we have compromises. Nigeria is not ripe. We don't have the machinery. We don't have the resources. So strictly, if you have it, by now you could equally vote using your phones, just the way we do in the Nigerian Bar Association. But at this point, there's no denying to tell you, even the NBA election, we've seen people being arrested, taken to court because they've compromised the electronic means of ensuring credible election in the Nigerian Bar Association. So if lawyers cannot even get it right, if you now put it in the general society where you have some are not literate enough, some areas you don't have the network, some of the network are poor, and you now have man-made efforts, people that are working in INEC, people that are working outside INEC that have been compromised to attack the system. I think the only safe way is to complement the manual way with the electronic way, in the sense that if there are attacks, INEC will know. If the difference is so much from what was collected manually, it means something is wrong. It gives room for investigation and authentication. So for now, we are not yet ready completely for electronic collection of results. It will go hand in hand with the manual regime. Then as regards campaign, ball has been set. We just we encourage everybody to do the campaign. Already the path, the trajectory of that has been set, where we now have incessant attacks, killings, and hooliganism. Mm. We want issue-based campaign so that anybody that wins, all of us will now be able to come together and rally around the eventual winner. We can go our separate ways during campaign, but after an election is conducted credibly, we should be able to have a president, we should be able to have leaders that will not be able to work for the collective good of all Nigerians, irrespective of the fact that they did not vote for them or they actually voted for them. Mm-hmm. And as regards peace and security, the buck stops at the desk of the president. If the presidency cannot deliver that responsibility, they still have time, or they could do the honorable thing of abdicating their responsibility officially, so that we know that it's not God we are paying salary to for security, it's human being. If they cannot do it, then they should leave for other people that are ready, that are willing, that have new ideas, that have competency and capacity, and the patriotic zeal of wanting to keep Nigeria as a corporate going concern. Security cannot be taken for granted, and the activities of hoodlums, Boko Haram, terrorists, kidnappers need to be completely brought to the board, not reacting. We should go to their hideouts, we should go to their enclaves, to the various forests where they are. They should be smoked out, and let's have peace. Let's have a Nigeria whereby if things are difficult, at least you know that you have peace of mind. You have some element of air of security that you can even move freely and be happy. At the moment, both the rich and the poor are now crying.
Indeed. Both the rich and the poor are both crying, and I totally agree with you. Thank you so much, Barrister Abubakar Tanimu, for your time. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, enjoy the rest of your day. Well, this is where we end this very segment, the top three moments on the sunny side with Barry Stalbaker and Atenimu, giving us his own thoughts on some of the headlines that we examined. We will be taking a quick break and we'll be bringing on board our next guest as we look at the issues, the issue-based campaigns as it ought to be, that is, or is it going to be otherwise, would be exploring the areas that Nigerians need to really pay attention and also what we need to hear from the politicians. Because so many people agree that the campaigns are just a period where we get to see mudslinging, insults, sentiments being whipped up, all in favor of the political class. But then, what should we watch out for? What do we need to insist on? Because this is the only chance that Nigerians have, you know, to ensure that we really scrutinize these people in terms of their competency, character, and all whatnot, in order to ensure that we do not make a mistake. So stay with us. We'll take this quick break and come right back.
With all the stories that make the news,
the headline,
the caption,
the breaking news, details of the story.
Let's talk about these and more
on 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Let's talk.
Stay on track with Nigeria Info.
Currently, PFN is still on Bishops.
Talking about Mourinho and AS Roma, followed by a joint force with Mourinho.
And then, probably, aviation workers also want to join the strike.
More access to all the top stories and more.
95.1. Let's talk.
This is Sunnyside on 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Right, welcome back again. It's time for our major discuss this afternoon, and like I told you, we'll be looking at 2023 campaigns and the issues we need to begin to look out for, or we need to listen out for. Honorable Elisha Ishaku Gang is my guest this afternoon. He's by qualification an electrical engineer. He has also a BSc in political science and international relations, and has a master's in political economy and development studies. He's the managing director, Ella Services Limited, and he contested sometime in 2007 and 11 for the Federal House of Representatives of Birkin Ladi / Riom Federal Constituency. During the primaries, though, he didn't scale through, but all the same, he's one person who is so versatile with the Nigerian political scene, and I have the pleasure of having him in the studio this afternoon with me. Thank you, sir, for coming.
Thank you.
Welcome. Right, so the campaigns will soon start in a matter of days, or just about a week, 2 weeks from now. That will be 28th of September. And like I was saying earlier on, many people opine that politicians use this campaign period not to necessarily campaign on issues, but rather we see sharing of largesse, vote buying, or trying to influence people by, you know, gratification. And then even if they have to campaign, when they go to places, they would always want to pick out either insults or mudslinging or just some sort of smear campaigns rather than issue-based. Do you believe that this has been our trajectory in the last couple of years, I mean, since 1998 or...?
Yeah, that has been our problem, but recently, I think if you look carefully at the system, they've been trying to curtail that. And I think that problem comes largely because the leadership of our country have not properly developed the foundation on which our political system should build on. If you want to address issue-based campaign, they should be based on national development plan, which of course nobody is talking about that. Every leader comes and says, I have 5-point agenda, 10-point agenda, 20-point agenda, and at the end of the day, he does none. But if we have what we call, if we're going to follow a national development plan, that any leader who wins an election must adhere strictly to that plan, we'll go somewhere.
Who comes up with the national development plan?
It's the nation. We have a national assembly. We're supposed to have development strategies for power, housing, education, health. These ministers are not just there for being there, but they were put there so that they can implement the policies of government.
Yes.
But now we are not even using them. Look at, in the first place now, you are going to campaign. ASUU have been on strike for over 6 months. What do you tell the electorate?
Well.
Because the educational system is leaking. It is just no foundation for it.
Mm.
It has been basically destroyed. You find that our students, our young people now, are not even thinking of education. Everyone is thinking of how to make money. How do you, if you make the money, what next? If you make money, it's national development. Where do you put the money?
Mm.
So we are wasting a lot of resources in this country. And if our leaders are going to be frank with us, we should sit back, develop a national plan, a workable national development plan that every leader will be pinned to that plan. If it doesn't work according to, look at America. You can't go and mess up with the system and say you have five-point agenda. How?
That's what we always used to. I mean, I remember during the year Adwoa period, it was a seven-point agenda. And then, you know, you look at other... But we've been listening to the contestants speak. You know, we've heard, for example, let me give you some clear-cut examples. Anatiku, for example, has a five-point agenda where he speaks of national unity or restructuring and then a whole lot of other things that have to do with the economy and security. Bola Ahmed Tinubu, as much as he doesn't have a comprehensive document, you've heard him speak about security, employing 50 million Nigerians, feeding them with some certain kind of food, etc. And, well, maybe Peter Obi has not really been vocal. He said, well, he will not speak out about it because these are national issues. You know, so this is the kind of statement we keep on hearing here and there. This person bringing out his own agenda, this person bringing out his... But you made a very, very important point about national development. So in the absence of that, what do we look out for?
Well, you see, in party politics, our political parties have no political ideology in the first place.
Mm.
And so you cannot even say you have to address the foundation of our political leaders. That is looking at the personal idiosyncrasies of a leader. Where is he coming from? Who brought him up? What happened in his educational background?
Mm.
During his educational studies, what did he achieve or what he did not achieve? Where are his strengths and weaknesses? Before we can talk of a leader. And we have this problem in this country because we don't have that foundation for our leaders. Leadership is not a small thing. Mm. You are carrying the responsibility of millions of people on yourself. And if you don't have your personal idiosyncrasies do not meet the demands of leadership, you cannot perform, even if you have 10-point agenda.
Mm.
So we have to go back and outline certain things. Now, one, I mentioned our national development strategy. Secondly, we have to look at the personal idiosyncrasies of our leaders who are going to elect. If somebody has passed the age of 40, 50 years, you must definitely have some health challenges. Would those health challenges allow you to perform national duty? We don't check those things. But in other countries, they do. And these are the fundamental factors. Anybody can come and say he will do anything. But what is his foundation? The level of commitment he has to this nation.
Mm.
We don't have nationalism in this country. Everybody come out. That's why people say, I'm Yoruba, I'm Igbo, I'm Hausa. We have been bastardized along ethnic and religious lines because we don't have nationalism. Our children are not taught nationalism in primary and secondary schools.
Mm-hmm.
So you grow up as an individual. We are not growing up as a collectively as a people. So these are the problems that affects even our leaders, no matter how high they have gone. Somebody has been head of state, he's going to collect a traditional tool, you know, or go to Sokoto and say he wants to collect a traditional title. What for? You are above that level. You have become a national leader who have served the country. So you should be seen as such. Why are you not limiting yourself to a small district or a small section of the country?
Mm.
These are the problems. So I believe that if our leaders have to be honest, these are basic two issues we have to address. Because anybody can come and say anything. I'll build roads. Yes, the militaries were building roads. Were they not building roads?
Mm-hmm.
They were building hospitals. In fact, our education was sometimes more stable under the military than what it is today.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
So what are you talking about? Democracy I think it's the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But today is not so. It's for the few, as it is today. The leaders have choose to shortchange the rest of the nation. They it's a deliberate attempt that they have succeeded in doing by destroying some certain section of the economy for them to be able to succeed in what they are doing. A poor man does not know what his left from his right. An illiterate will not know what it means or national development plan is because he doesn't even know it. So if we are illiterate in this country, we cannot go anywhere. The bedrock of development is education. So I believe that the need for us to restructure and re-strategize is very important. Mm.
You want to ask? Okay, so moving on now. You've talked about a whole lot, you know, with regards to the leaders, the national plan. And I think it's also as a result of poor leadership, maybe, that we've not been able to, I don't know if we presently have one, a national development plan on ground, but nobody seems to even focus on that. Now, in the case of looking at leadership, we also cannot take away followership. What is the role of the average Nigerian? Because we know all the things, how the leaders have changed the people, how they divide us through. But then we also see followers yielding themselves to some of these things, and very disappointedly so. Because what everybody needs is the same thing. We keep saying it on this platform. Everybody needs electricity because it's going to help us on the overall. Everybody wants good jobs. Everybody wants, you know, education for their children and all of that. But then these same Nigerians are the ones who are divided across religious ethnicity and other fault lines that are not helping us. So what should the average Nigerian citizen or follower begin to do, especially as the campaigns get to open right now?
Nigerians, the ordinary Nigerians lack the political will to fight for themselves. That's the truth.
Mm.
Why? Because the leadership have already divided the people. Let me give you an example of China now. Chairman Mao, when he came to China, China was a divided country. But one man united the whole country. You have over 6 regions in China, but they have the same ideology. A Chinese man in the street today will tell you where China will be in the next 50 years.
Mm. Mm.
They know. The poor people are good followers. But here, our leader, all he does is, the first thing he does, get money. I'll throw money to the people and tell them what I want. The reverse is the case here. So what we need to do is to, I will emphasize on that the followers and the leadership, we have all messed up. We are all on the wrong side. Because Machiavelli said a country gets the kind of leadership they deserve.
Mm.
Because they are also participants. The leaders come from the people.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have, the basic thing that we have to go back is to introduce nationalism in our schools. We don't have it. Anybody who is growing up in Nigeria knows himself first as a tribal ethnic.
Yeah, we first of all see ourselves as Igbo man, Yoruba man, before a Nigerian. That's how we see ourselves in Nigeria.
We have to see ourselves as Nigerians. So if the Igbo man or the Hausa man who is your brother is wrong, you will tell him you are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have that. We always side with our unions.
Mm.
So how do we go? We can't go far. These are the limiting factors we have in Nigeria. Okay, you are talking of, we're talking of building a second Niger Bridge for how many years? The Igbos are saying it's their project, they have been shortchanged. It's not Igbo project, it's national project.
Mm, that's how it ought to be.
That's how it ought to be. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? We are talking of a Jayakuta here that have been moribund for so many years. The Kogi people say, "A is our project." It's not Kogi project; it's national project.
Mm.
So it is. So it is with all other national infrastructures that we have all over the country. So you will not come walk up one day and say, "Because I'm an Igbo man," or "Because I'm a Europe." No, we walk up and say, "I'm a Nigerian." That's the first thing you should call yourself.
Mm.
I went to American Embassy one day, Let me give you this analysis. A lady came in. The embassy staff did not know she was an American.
Mm.
So she came to drop her passport. So immediately she went, they told her to sit down. She sat for 30 minutes. Nobody attended to her. She wanted to bring down the whole place.
Mm.
She was screaming, "I'm an American. Can somebody talk to me?" The counselor came down from his office to attend to her.
Mm.
Do we have that nationality?
Mm.
We don't have that nationality. You look at, you're a poor man because he's poor or because he's not well to do in your country, and you look down on him.
Yeah. Yeah. If it was a Nigerian embassy, for example, they'll insult you and said, "You know, who are you? Who are you? Where do you come from?"
So, obviously, the need for nationalism is very important. All these things we are doing is we are just marking time in the same place.
Okay, so talking about the campaigns, what we have had over time, people use issues like tribe, like religion. You hear when a nominee, you hear, "No, this is not a Christian, this is a Muslim, this one is an Anglican." So in this regard, what should we be expecting from political parties during the campaigns? And we've also had situations whereby people get chosen because of their academic qualification.
Mm-hmm.
So in times like this, over time, we've voted people based on their oratory ability. Yeah, this one can speak English, can blow grammar. But in implementation, all that they have aligned most times do not get implemented. So as it were now, what should we be expecting from political parties? Should we look at character of these individuals or their academic qualification? What should the citizens, the electorate, be expecting? How should we choose?
I'll address that in two dimensions.
Mm.
Number one, I will say we will not expect too much from the politicians or the political class from what we have seen before. Because you have started hearing Emilia Kong and all the
other slogans.
Other slogans.
Mm-hmm.
These are the same rhetorics we've been hearing over years.
Yeah.
And if we go by that, I think we will not expect much. But what one should expect a politician to do at this time is to tell Nigerians how you are going to carry them along.
Mm.
And not somebody, when you win the election, you are not coming to say, "I'm the president of PDP, I'm the president of Igbos, I'm the president of APC, or I'm the president of Christians or Muslims."
Mm-hmm.
No, somebody who come and unite the country and say, "Look, this is the time for us to think back and unite this country and be one people." Well, a political platform is just for the purpose of election. But once you win an election, you are a leader for all.
Mm.
You are, okay. People go to the same market. The PDP and the APC go to the same market. They breathe the same air. And you live in the same society.
Mm-hmm.
So dividing them will be problematic. And that's what we have today. We have today in this government a serious problem because the people have been divided. Why should we be thinking of... My friend, something happened in Garki the other day. The school children went on break, and you saw this. They start forming themselves into groups. The ones wearing hijab were just in their own group.
Mm.
The other ones who wearing hijab went to their own group. So we are creating problem in this country.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court supports such things that somebody can wear a hijab to a public place. Now, if you divide people along that line, Where do you think there will be a meeting point?
Hmm.
There will be no meeting point.
Mm-hmm.
So society is built from the scratch. You start from the young, when they are young, for people to grow up and know that this is where we are going to as a people.
It seems for me like where we seem to be retrogressing, especially as it has to do with issues of national unity. I'll give you an example.
Hmm.
On several occasions in this country, we've had the same fate, president and vice, and nobody ever talked about it.
Hmm.
If you take your mind in history, Gowon and his deputy, you now come down to, we have to stop very quickly. We take a break and then I'll just ask my question and we continue. So you guys, please stay with us. Let's take this quick commercial and then after that, we continue with this.
There's a place where you can get it all. Trending.
People are jumping on their vehicle and running, leaving their vehicle.
A place where you can air your views.
I want to report your destruction.
Only on your number one station for talk.
This is not the way. We cannot continue like this.
95.1 Nigeria Info. Abuja. Let's talk. Oh yes, invest in your child today. Give them a head start for the future with the Adron Homes Young Landlord Sales Offer. Enjoy 30% discounts on a full plot of land, plus a flexible payment plan of up to 24 months when you subscribe. And there's more. As a young landlord, your child gets educational and stationery giveaways such as school bags, study furniture set, lunch box sets, educational tablets, or a shopping voucher during this sales offer. The Young Landlord Sales Offer is available for all our estates nationwide. For inquiries, call
080-329-0813 or 080-372-52165.
Terms and conditions apply. Adron Homes, making the incredible affordable. Let's talk on 95.1
Nigeria Info
Abuja.
This is Sunny Sai on 95.1 Nigeria Info.
All right, thank you so much for staying with us. We're seated with Honorable Elisha Ishaku Gang, who is the Managing Director, Ella Services Limited, and a former contestant of the Federal House of Representatives in 2007 and 2011 for the Barkin Ladi and Riom Federal Constituency. Thank you so much once again, sir, for coming. Now, you were talking about, you know, the issue of the unity, national unity, which we have seen decline over time. And I was wondering if we're actually retrogressing because, you know, taking our mind back to history when Gowon was the president, his deputy was a Christian, you know. You come down to during the Buhari regime, military era, him and his deputy were both Muslims. Then also in 93, we came close to also having a Muslim. But Nigeria was living in obvious unity. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was so much of the problem that we see, you know, the dichotomy and division, terrible division that we have and all the things that are going down right now. So, I mean, how did we ever get it wrong, you know? Because it's not about the religion, but maybe we are getting it wrong somewhere, that the obvious division, or the division is so obvious right now as it is.
Yeah, the division is obvious, but we have to blame ourselves for all this.
The people or the leaders?
We blame both the people and the leaders. You see, in every country you have what we call internal crisis, and so also have internal crisis. The government, the federal government or the leadership should be able to manage those crises effectively. That's what is called leadership. Let me start with the external crisis. You have nations that, or organizations that want to control your resources, by all means. And they have to find a way of dividing the people to get what they want. That is why you have foreign interests in nations. And we will not rule out that in Nigeria. But they use internal people to achieve their aim. Because they will not come up and say they will participate in your system of government. But they use your leadership. And that's why I say we have both the external and internal problems. And these problems, squarely, the bigger responsibility falls on leadership.
Mm-hmm.
If you look carefully in the 70s, you have what we call, under the Minister of Education, we have what we call the orientation unit. They go to campaign, like they go to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare, school education, they go to draft people for education. Do we have that today?
Mm.
It has been cut off.
Mm.
Rather, people preach ethnic lines. That's what I've been saying.
Yeah.
That's why I was saying that the problem we have is nationalism. If we can have nationalism preached to our people, these problems will be curtailed. And the situation that we had during Gowon and Buhari and then 1983 is different now because of this intrusion by external forces, which was managed by our own local people. to bring us to this level. Religion is a major factor in politics. There's nothing you can do about it. And I did mention that when you look at the leader's personal addressing crisis, you look at his religion also. Even the religion he's practicing, is he practicing well? Is it faithful? Because when you are carrying the burden of people, your own conscience should be able to tell you what you are doing is right or wrong. So people have brought religion to the front burners. The pastors are in government house. The imams are in the government house. They are collecting salary. They are with the politicians. They are siding one politician or the other. Or they are on ethnic, on supporting a candidate based on ethnic inclination. So these are the problems that we have built for ourselves. You know? So it is going to be difficult, very difficult for Nigerians to accept certain things now. People are getting more enlightened. And people are seeing what is happening. The level of insecurity have increased this dichotomy between people. Mm-hmm. You can't go and visit your brother or sister in Kaduna now. You can't go by road. People from Kaduna go to Kano to take flight to Abuja.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the distance. So the division is getting wider by the day. And one other basic thing that has increased this margin of division is economy. We are churning out thousands of young people from the universities who don't have where to put them. And how do I arrive at that? One thing that should have solved that problem is electricity. If we have electricity, with the measure which government is trying to address industrial development, trying to bring in inclusiveness in government, the problem will be less. But if you set up an industry today, if you want to produce, you produce at a loss. Energy, cost of energy alone will make you produce. So somebody importing will be selling
something cheaper
than yours
because of the cost of the electricity.
Cost of electricity. I mentioned this briefly. What the Chinese did was to build a 3-gauge dam, and it took them 30 years to do that. From that period, when they completed that 3-gauge dam, today China is not the same. That was a breakthrough of China. People now come set up industries because they have cheap labor, and then China become the industrial manufacturer for the whole world.
For the whole world, everybody.
Today, even they are producing for Americans.
Yes.
They are producing for the Europeans, for everybody. And the economy is booming. The young men are gainfully employed. Some of them have set up their own industries. So nobody is putting too much emphasis on government. But today, in Nigeria, somebody is ready to kill somebody to enter government. Why? Because there is nowhere for him to go. And when he gets into government, cheap money. Corruption is there. The government gives the MDGs, the ministries, money. The ministry, that's what I was talking about, National Development Plan. The ministries submit their budget, or the MDGs submit their budget, what they want to do. It's not what government wants them to do. You give them money without monitoring. So the MD or whosoever is in that office becomes so influential that he decides which project should go. And whether it is done or not, they will pay the money.
Exactly.
So that's what makes people run into government. But if you say someone is going to live on his salary and his minimum in government, nobody wants to go to government. If we have a functional private sector, we don't have it. You are telling people to come and invest in Nigeria. Have you been to their countries? How can somebody bring money from a functional system to come and put it in an infunctional system? We don't have light, no infrastructure. Will he bring money to build roads to where they set up industry? Or will he bring money to go build electricity infrastructure in where it's going to be? How can he do that? So we have problems. These are fundamental problems. We are talking about privatization. You want to privatize what? A moribund institution? We have done the privatization. What have we achieved? Nothing. There is none of these industries that are privatized is functional today. Tell me one. So we are in a problem. We don't want to sit down and address our problem. We are talking of ethnicity, religion, tribe, without addressing what binds us together. Listen, if this country had problems today, all of us would be refugee camps in other countries.
Mm.
Look at what is happening in Ukraine today. It would be worse in Nigeria because we have an explosive population. So we should tread carefully on the way we campaign or do things or try in any other way to lead this country, because a problem in this country is going to be madness.
Are you optimistic, of any of the ones who have presented themselves so far?
The presidential candidates?
Yes, the candidates that we have. Are you in any way...
Well...
Do you have any sort of hope whatsoever that, okay, some sort of hope?
When you want to have hope, you should have the basis for hope. Today, we have a money economy.
Mm.
The only viable source of income for Nigeria is oil. Now, the oil market, we don't know how the country is running it now. We don't even know. Saudi Arabia, which country made $80 billion?
Oh, yes, Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm. Today, we're saying that the country made $2.7 billion in 6 months, that oil was stolen. For God's sake, is that something that a nation is a disgrace for any leader in this country or manager of an institution in this country to make such statement? It's a national disgrace in the first place. So I don't see how any leader, if we continue like this, even if you are a saint in this country, if we continue like this, they'll bring you down.
Who are the days? Okay, but let me ask you this question, yeah? Will there be a possibility to be able to choose a functional candidate amongst the candidates rather than a popular candidate? Do not forget what happened 2015. We had a situation whereby the current administration came on the heels of change. Nigerians had the hope that, okay, President Muhammadu Buhari is a disciplinarian and things would be set aright. He was popular in that regard. Mm-hmm. And amongst the candidates so far, we have seen a couple of popular in their various sense. Will there be a possibility to choose a functional president, whether he speaks well or not, so somebody who would do the work, who will act what he has said, or a popular person who is widely known, who may not end up doing helping Nigeria to where we hope to...
There's possibility, but we have to build our institutions.
Okay.
A tree cannot make a forest. No matter how good a leader is, must be backed by institutions.
Mm.
Atiku has been vice president for 8 years. And he was part of a functional democracy. Let me put it that way.
Mm.
Because at that time, we saw a little leverage from the past, a defense. You had freedom to talk and do what you want to do during that period. And we saw some little infrastructure being built by that administration.
Mm.
But today the case, Bola Tinubu has been in Lagos State. He's saying that he has built Lagos to what it is today. Well, Peter Obi has been in Anambra State. Mm. And Kwanko Soh has been in Kano. Everybody will showcase what he has done.
Mm.
But the present scenario is very fearful, because look, Nigeria today, we are highly indebted. Any president who is going to come, he's going to work hard. Look at, and we are still collecting loan, though. We have not stopped collecting loan. But I don't know where we are going to end. But the fraud that we have in Nigeria today is that we are doing cash development. Cash-backed economy. Let me put it that way. Cash-backed economy. That is, if I want to build a house, I'll bring the whole money, put it on ground, start building until the money finishes. No. That's not how Dubai was built.
Mm.
You see the fraud that is going on. We have to go back to bonds, building our economy based on credit facilities.
Mm.
But even at that, we have squandered that opportunity. So So if even if Atiku comes today, or Tinubu, or Kwame Nkrumah, or Peter Obi, he has to work hard to stabilize the system, stabilize the economy. And let me tell you, 4 years cannot give you that meaningful result that you expect.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have high hopes that Atiku will come and turn the economy overnight, you'll be getting it wrong. So when it comes at the end of the day, I don't do what you want, you'll be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a long way. That's why I said national development plan at the beginning of this. If our national development plan is right, and then we now the leadership now follows that national development plan, it will cut down a lot of expenses, a lot of wastages, and then we will now be expecting definite results from our leaders.
Mm. All right. Well, some interesting discussion we are having this afternoon, and I know that you want to be a part of it. We see the messages coming in. Thank you so much. So take out your time now. Call in if you have questions, contributions, or any thoughts you want to share with us this afternoon. We'll be glad to hear from you as we discuss with Honorable Elisha Ishakugyang. Call on 0700-951-0000, and then you can also, as a lady, call 080-999-30137. Or if you're outside of this kind, use the WhatsApp. It is easier that way. But the men, please stick with the phone lines. Hello? Okay, drop call.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Swat and Baby.
Thanks for joining us.
My regards to your guest.
Go ahead.
Yes. This is Chuks, the man. I'm calling right now from Dawachi area. I really don't know where you get your guests from. Your guests are always wonderful. Sometimes I say this Nigeria Info. I don't know. This man has made my day. He said two things that touched me. One of the things is that we need to have a national kind of
development plan
where even if you win, you must follow the plan. If you go outside the plan, you are automatically, in fact, you are not impeached. The system will remove you from government. He also said something about that Nigerians grow individually. We don't grow collectively as a people. It is these two points touched me, and I want to say thank you to him. David Swart, I grew up in Kaduna State. Growing up in Kaduna State, we didn't know who was a Christian, we didn't know who was a Muslim. We celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Salah together. The place I grew up as a Catholic then, as a young Catholic, we do what we call block crossways. The compound where we do our prayer is owned by a Muslim. Any day we don't go to prayer, the next day when we go, he will ask us what happened, this and that. Until we started this democracy and they started campaign, which they are going to start very soon. The campaign of don't vote this person is from here. He is not from your place. He is a Christian. He is a Muslim. If that happens again, Nigeria will continue to be divided.
All right. Thank you so much.
You rightly said, okay, let me not take more time.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Right, we have a lady on the line.
Hello.
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 Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're fine, thank you.
How is work?
Very fine. Thank you. Go ahead. Tell us your name.
Okay, my name is Margaret. I'm calling you from Apple right now.
All right, go ahead.
I want to say thank you for you guys. You are doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you, Margaret.
And you are making the voice of masses be heard. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, okay. That's it. Thank you so much for appreciating us, Margaret. We appreciate you, too. Right.
Yeah.
So. Let's take on other callers.
Hello. Yeah, please, can you turn down the volume on that radio? Okay. Let's talk.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm great to have this here. The man spoke well in this country.
Can you tell us your name first of all?
Oh, sorry. Ibn Sani. Hello, you from Double M.
All right, go ahead.
So, all our listeners, able to get this idea, their mind, believe this country will move forward. Because I'm listening to him right from when he started, picking call now. I understand where the man is going. And I pray for him to give him more knowledge to enlighten people in the community. Thank you very much.
All right. Hello. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my sister. Good afternoon to us.
Good afternoon to you.
This is Adewumi calling.
All right, go ahead, Adewumi.
Let me start by asking our guest, what is the way forward? Because, take for instance, people are celebrating Peter Obi. If Peter Obi good, those who he will appoint as a minister, will they be like him? Look at today now. Muhammadu Buhari told us when he was out of power, he didn't have money, he didn't have anything. For all the money that they are looking under his watch now, who are we going to blame for that? That's my fear. Because I remember in 2019, what? You remember you people brought a lot of politicians. This is the same thing. Vote wisely. We voted wisely according to the law. Let's say we agreed before Muhammadu Buhari was declared. For those who are with him, who appointed them? If Peter Obi Tinubu, if they say they will not lose money, what of the people that they appointed, the ministers, are they going to come from the moon? Buhari told us the other time that minister and noisemaker, he appointed them today. He said he's going to bring them from the moon. He waited 6 months. What do we see now? Are they not the ones who are losing our money according to both of English allegedly? Today now, monkey swallow money. How might they destroy Fauta? Oga, what is way forward? That's my own question. Thank you.
All right, Adeomi, don't worry. He'll respond to you in a short moment from now. Okay, thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, baby.
Please switch off your radio or something.
Okay. I'll do that.
Tell us the name and location.
Right. I greet you. I'm the guest.
Welcome.
This is Dino Ken from Atoko. You know, in life, there are times of the things. Sometimes you don't believe the little things of life. You don't know what it is.
Your line is not clear, sir.
Okay, let me call you back then.
Okay, thank you. Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, David.
Yes, thanks for joining us. Your name and location?
I guess.
Thank you.
Speaking.
Okay.
Yes, I greet your guest. He spoke well. But I want to particularly during this campaign, all the promises that these our people, these our presidential that as well as are going to please us, should be written down one by one. Everything they say that they're going to do should be written down so that after 1 year, if they cannot achieve them, if the person we do what? Resign. Enough is enough of proving some fair. They cannot work in Nigeria here. And also, in issue of unity, we are not united. If in Nigeria today, we are still calling our name, ourselves names. If you see Boma, you call Aminyamiri, you say ourselves, call Abuki, you say Obari, call Jarate. It cannot work like that. If you say, you say my brother, but if we continue to go on that, you cannot work in Nigeria here. Yeah. I go in Kano, I live in Kano, I school in Kano. The last day my father died, due to how I live with them, the child boss, and come down to Enugu, they stay with me for 3 days. They are Muslims. So let us live in unity and live in peace. Thank you.
All right,
appreciate you.
All right, I think this should be a lady, if I'm not mistaken. This one, okay. Drop call. Two more, then we'll read the messages. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Tell us your name.
My name is Uka. I'm speaking from Buhari.
You're welcome, Uka. Go ahead.
What the senator there say? You have said it all. We have a leader, and we are going to choose another leader. What our former leader was doing, he go around the country to harmonize the both right to the local government. Presently, he won on seat, he did not do so. So we know where he has pointed out, and we know whom we are going to vote for.
All right.
We are not going to peel on the new stone, on the old stone again. So we'll go back to where we belong.
All right, thank you.
Before our leg is cut.
Nobody will cut your leg. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
You're welcome, Zaini. Tell us your name.
This is Goma Goma from Katampe Extension.
Let's talk.
Yes, I greet your guest. Hello?
Go ahead.
Yes, the issue is not about the who is going to be the next leader. The issue is about the accountability. And how can it be how can they be accounted for what they do? If there will be a voter's card, that if somebody is voted in and he refused to do what has been voted for, there should be another voter card that they will vote that person out. We must not have 4 years in captivity or 8 years. That will make them to do what is right. But waiting for them to spend 4 years or 8 years, I don't think they will do what is right. Let there be a provision for an intervention, an urgent intervention voter card, that if someone does not do what is right, to be voted out. We must not spend 4 years in captivity or 4 years saying on the calling. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. And one last call, and then we'll read the messages, yeah? Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is from Durumi.
Say your name again.
This is Tiktree from Durumi.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to say thanks to your people and your crew day for what you've done so far. And I want to say, in addition to national policy, we should be looking at campaign promises. It should not be what the presidential candidate is supposed to be giving to Nigerians any longer. Because right now, it is not what affects, the affection of the North is quite different from that of the South. And that of the South is quite different from that of the East. So I want to believe that campaign promise is supposed to be made state by state, documentary, and given to the presidential candidate of all the presidential candidates to endorse what we want. This is what we want from the South. This is what we want from the East. This is what we want from the North. Then if actually you want to be our president, you want to emerge as our president, to endorse, this is what you will do for us. Not what you come to. Coming to tell us what you will do for us. We are sick and tired of political campaign promises. We need democratic campaign promises that is coming from the people we want to serve. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. I guess it's time for us to begin to read the messages. Okay. Let's start from you, Debbie.
Okay. So we have this one here. National Assembly is like a cartel. They can make laws that would make policies binding, but if you raise it in chambers, they will suspend you indefinitely.
Okay. Swat, what are we talking about when a president of Nigeria finds only competency in one region of the country in selecting all the security chief? Then you're also talking about the Muslim ticket, which was also discussed on the round table, and these political power grabbers also see it good enough in a country more adverse like Nigeria. Please, where is the Christian representation in the APC presidential ticket? Can the Muslim faithful allow Christian tickets to fly? Do you think that they don't know? Okay, Emeka, I think you're going on about this Muslim thing. So, talking about issue-based campaigns here. Let's move on to this message.
Okay, Leo is stressing that politicians are the ones dividing Nigerians along ethnic lines.
Okay. Quickly now before the next break, and then we'll take a final comment from our guest. This is Nathaniel from HMI. He said, nobody's more Nigerian and nobody is less Nigerian until we know this. You said zoning leadership from federal state should be constitutional. Atiku has no right to contest for presidential election from the north. I want to become president one day as a Tiv man, nor Idoma man. Okay, we'll stop for this break.
This is Nigeria Info.
Admission. Did you score 140 and above in the last UTME? Or do you have diploma certificate, NCE, JUPEP, IGMB, or professional certificate? Kolada Aisi University Ibadan is your best choice to pursue degree in law, applied sciences, art, management, and social sciences with 5 relevant O-level credits and your UTME 2022-2023 JAMB score at affordable tuition, payable in installments. Interested candidates with HND or equivalent can also apply for HND conversion into BSc programs. We are also currently admitting candidates for JUPEP program. Call or WhatsApp 070-37-95-3524 or visit our website www.kolada-aisi-university.edu.ng. Announcer, registrar.
Back to back and back of the biggest talk on your number one station for talk, Nigeria Info.
This is Sunny Side on 95.1 Nigeria Info.
All right, it's 5 minutes before the top of the hour, or make that 6 minutes. We will be taking the final messages that will have a final word from our guest this afternoon. Nathaniel from Itama said nobody is more Nigerian and nobody is less Nigerian until we know this. Zoning leadership from federal to state should be constitutional. Atiku has no right to contest for presidential election from the north. I want to become president one day as TV man or Idoma man. The constitution has made some of us less Nigerian than the others. The question is, why must it be Hausas or Yorubas that will be president? Can't we have Igala or Idoma presidency? The major tribes encrypted in our constitution has already prioritized tribalism than nationalism. That's what Nathaniel opined this afternoon.
All right. Amos Ngariki says, we are here today as a result of lack of sincerity of peoples. The common hope of ordinary man, that's the judiciary, has been destroyed. Punitive measures are for the poor only. We can't protest bad governance anymore. All we have left is prayer.
Your guess is spot on. In foreign climes, nations have national development plans and think tanks. All successive governments look into the policy documents of the think tanks on what is to be done to develop the nation. Unfortunately, in Nigeria, we have several abandoned projects because of policy differences. In addition, we have leadership challenges because most of our so-called leaders do not even believe in Nigeria due to ethnicity, tribalism, and religious beliefs. We have a long way to go, says Mr. Olubunmi Mayaki.
Charles from Area 10 says, in consonance with your guest, a national plan should be made and whoever wins from any political party must follow it, and the tenure should be 4 years each.
My name is Kenneth from Adela. The guest spoke very well. We need a national development plan and we need to preach nationalism. That's true.
Okay. Ogmata in Central Area says, someone says that the Sultan shouldn't be associated with politics, really? It's for today. And he says it's only in a country like Nigeria that someone who couldn't unify his party and has practically done nothing to bring order in his backyard, being ravaged by terrorists for 2 score years, is promising to unite Nigeria, and some would listen. Unity won't come from corrupt leaders. I have always said it. The principle of divide and rule is the stock in trade for all corrupt leaders. Britain used it to exploit our resources, and our leaders are using same to loot the country. No corrupt leader would ever unify the victims of his or her exploitation, because unity itself is dangerous to selfish objectives any day. Fairness, justice, and good economy would readily unite Nigeria and nothing else. It's not by mouthing. And you say, how can someone who's buying votes with dollars not reap from the investment or be interested in your welfare?
Okay, the last message this afternoon is from Alex Minga. All right, Alex Minga said, good afternoon, Swat and Debbie. Let me quote your exceptional guest. How can you live in a country with a functional, organized system to come and invest in a country where the system is not working. You said this cannot just work. Nigeria is so blessed, and only a leader that is focused and can turn the fortunes of a country to a better society for every Nigerian to be proud of. God bless your guests. God bless Deputy Nswat and Nigeria. Alex Niga, thank you. All right, these are some of the feedback this afternoon. I don't know what your response will be to some of their questions and your final words at the end.
Well, my response would be that we